Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 12th of September, 2021. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Paul continued our series looking at major stuff from minor prophets, and he was looking at Zechariah and Don't Quit. The reading is Zechariah chapter 8, verses 3 to 11. So we'll go and join Paul as he's introducing the service.
Hello and good morning and welcome to Minehead Baptist Church. There's people milling around everywhere. Those of you that have been online and seen people rushing to their seats already. Couldn't say that word, you'd know that. Just a few notices for today. Firstly, to say welcome. Welcome to Minehead Baptist Church if you're here in person or you're online. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's lovely to worship with you and worship our amazing Lord together. The notices for the week are as per the sheet. There are just a few additions they have and some dates for your diary. In the order I can find them, they are as follows. This afternoon, there are some of us that will gather in the park for a picnic if the weather holds, because the weather for here for 1 o'clock is rain. So we'll just have to see how that goes a bit. If you get down there and we're not down there, don't worry, because this is the first day since we've been back that this church has three services this Sunday. We've one now, we've one at 4 o'clock, and we have Cafe Church at the Hub at 6 o'clock. Cafe Church won't be live streamed, it will be live only. And we'll be looking at standing firm in the faith. So 4 o'clock church here this afternoon, or 6 o'clock at the Hub. Second date for your diary is to remind you that the church meeting is a week on Tuesday. That's the 21st of September at 7 o'clock, when we will continue that sense of what does God want from us? What does God need from us? Where is God leading us as we step forward as church? Then to let you know of the date of harvest this year. Harvest is going to be on the 26th of September. In essence, that's 2 weeks today. Both services, both in the morning and in the afternoon, will be orientated towards harvest. And if you think you'd love to sing some of those traditional old harvest hymns, Steve's agreed to come along and lead us on the organ for some of those on that Sunday. So come along and sing with us. At both services, and indeed before and after that, we'll open a harvest appeal. And friends, let's be honest, there are so many things going on in the world that what can happen is some things get forgotten, don't they? They get out of the media's attention, out of the spotlight, and they're not thought about again. As we were praying through that as a leadership, we were drawn to remember those folk who are still suffering in Haiti. And so this year, as part of our harvest appeal, we'd like to give money to Christian Aid for their work in Haiti. So just to let you know, that's the appeal that we'll have on that day. There'll be opportunity to give then, before and after. And we'll let you know when Pauline says she's got to close everything off. Moving forward a bit further, the Saturday afterwards, the 2nd of October, 10 till 12:30, we're going to have a second, if you remember, of our information days. We said we would in July. Share information about a couple of areas of our church life, about small groups and about pastoral care in particular. And to look at what God might be saying to each of us now we're through a hump of this time of pandemic, on how we're called to serve each other and to serve him. So that's Saturday the 2nd of October, 10 to 12:30. Those dates, etc., will be in next week's written notices as well. Then just to let you know, on Harvest, we'll be stopping live streaming for the last time. It'll be the last service we live stream. We will be posting the service later in the day, but in terms of live streaming, we'll stop it on that day and go back to a live service here, with the service itself posted on YouTube sometime later that day. That just aids us in terms of the busyness of a Sunday morning, and hopefully encourages everyone still sitting in their pajamas at home to come and join us again. On the 9th of October, there is a men's ministry conference. If you want to know more about the ministry among men in this church and indeed in the church, national and international. There's a conference being held, I think it's Bristol. See Richard or Adam or Lester for more details. If you have money to give Jason for his Hope Centre sponsorship and his ride from Land's End to John O'Groats, can you see Adam later on today? I think that's all the notices except one piece of amazing family news. And it's always good to share family news in a family gathering. We celebrate, do we not, those birthdays that have got a zero in them. Joe has a birthday with a zero in. It's tomorrow, and it's amazing to celebrate with a lady her 40th birthday, Joe. Let's give her our best wishes. On behalf of us all, Joe, I'd just like to say you do not look a day over 39. It's wonderful to come together and to worship together and to be together and to praise the Lord together. And Sue, I know you're going to lead us now in that amazing praise of our amazing Lord.
Good morning, everybody. Oh, good, that's good. Everyone feeling good? It's good, sun's shining. Oh, can I just say a massive thank you to everyone who came on Thursday to the coffee morning? Brilliant, really good morning. Don't forget, this week the church is open on Wednesday and Thursday from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock for free tea and coffee. Just come and just be, okay? Please come, otherwise I'll be on my own. Right, it's quite a sad place to be on your own. Right, so 9 till 3, the church is open, just to be, okay, for tea and coffee, that would be great. Okay. I've bought a bike today. Who's got a bike? All right, there's a few people. Can I just say, you've all gone up in my estimation, because there's only a few people who have got a bike. Cycling is not natural, is it? It's not a good thing, cycling. I don't understand why people cycle. But I've got a bike. Okay, who likes cycling? Brilliant. Right. Great. Have you got a bike like this one? Oh, someone has, yeah. Someone has. Brilliant. Okay, because this bike doesn't go anywhere. Right, it just sits there. Alright, I'm going to get on the bike now. Yeah, on me bike. Some of you wish I'd got on my bike, don't you? Right? Going to put my helmet on? Right? I've not put it on yet. Don't laugh yet. Right? Okay? Always wear a helmet when you go cycling, okay? Can't get it on. It's no good. That's it. Lovely. Always wear a helmet, okay? Get on my bike, okay? This is why cycling's not natural, okay? It's not good, okay? And then, oh, okay, here we go. Here we go. Oh, look! Look at that! Hey. Oh, okay. This is how we heat our house at home, okay? This is what I do every day. I'm like that. Oh, but I can't keep that going for long. Oh, there it goes off. Thank goodness for that. Okay, this bike's really special, you see. This bike's powered, all right, and it's attached to my light bulb. What happens when I pedal? It should. Let's see if it works, Ollie. All right, here we go. Oh, look at that. Look at that. It comes on. What happens when I stop pedaling? Okay, I'm just going to see if I can get it just to stay there. Not, it's going off. Look at that. Oh. Shall I do it again? Quite enjoying it, actually. Look at that. Hey, no hands. Look at that. Hey. It's lovely. Keep going. Right? And then I'm slowly going to stop. Oh. And it goes off. Do you know what? This is just like being a Christian. If you stop peddling, your light goes out. Right? And it's like, as a Christian, if we stop talking to God, we stop reading our Bible, and we stop spending time with him, the light goes out in our life. It's that simple. If we do that and we stay close to God, people will see our light shining. We don't actually have to say anything. We just have to keep peddling and being with God. And that light will carry on shining. If you stop and you don't spend time with God, that light goes out. And how are people going to see Jesus if we're not shining? It's that simple. So, I'm going to get off my bike now, right? And I'm going to walk like John Wayne, okay, for all you older people, all right? And we're going to go to fire starters, okay? So let's pray, all right? Sue's going to pray for us as we go out. So if you would like to come to fire starters and you're under 18, please join us in the hall now. And I'm just going to get, hang on a minute. Give me a minute, Sue.
The reading's taken from Zechariah 8, and it's reading from verses 3 to 11.
Okay, Zechariah chapter 8, starting at verse 3. This is what the Lord says. I will return to Zion and dwell in Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the City of Truth, and the mountain of the Lord Almighty will be called the Holy Mountain. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Once again, men and women of ripe old age will sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with cane in hand because of his age. The city streets will be filled with boys and girls playing there. This is what the Lord Almighty says. It may seem marvelous to the remnant of this people at that time, but will it seem marvelous to me, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will save my people from the countries of the east and the west. I will bring them back to live in Jerusalem. They will be my people, and I will be faithful and righteous to them as their God. This is what the Lord Almighty says. You who now hear these words spoken by the prophets who were there when the foundation was laid for the house of the Lord Almighty, let your hands be strong, so that the temple may be built. Before that time, there were no wages for man or beast. No one could go about his business safely because of his enemy, for I had turned every man against his neighbor. But now I will not deal with the remnant of this people as I did in the past, declares the Lord Almighty.
Let's just pray for Paul as he comes and brings the word. Lord, you said that your word will not go out from you, or it will go out from you, and it will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. And Lord, we pray that you will anoint the words that Paul speaks to us this morning. Pray that you will anoint him, Father, so that, Lord, he would just know. And Father, if the word comes, and Father God, I pray that you will speak through it, Lord. We desire to hear your voice. We have a passion, Lord, to hear your voice. So Father God, speak the very words that you want us to hear, Lord, through Paul. Amen.
Thank you, Sue, and it's lovely to be with you again. It seems like so long. It's only about 3 weeks. We were only away for two, but it's a bit more than that, really, because I and Lorraine had the privilege of taking a morning with our young people and getting them into all sorts of messy, wet trouble. So it's lovely to be with you once again. Last week, and indeed this week, and for the next few weeks, with the exception of harvest itself, we're going to be looking at some of these minor prophets in the Old Testament and some of the major themes that they talk about. Last week, Richard looked at Jonah for us and how this reluctant prophet ended up following his Lord and preaching the word of God in Nineveh, despite the fact that he started off by going in completely the opposite direction. This week, we're going to look at this prophet Zechariah. one of the main themes in the book that bears his name. If Zechariah were here today, if he had have been sitting out there where Mark was pedaling on the bike and lighting the lamp, and incidentally, I am not going to do that. If he had been here, what would his message be? Well, I think he'd have a message that comes through the prophecy that's as clear then as it is now, as relevant then as it is for today. He would stand here and say to all of us, don't quit. As we join the story of the Israelites in Zechariah, much had happened. They were God's chosen people, and they genuinely expected that that would always get the best things in life for them, that kind of special status. But soon they were humiliated, conquered again and again by one foreign nation after another. And finally, King Darius of Persia decides to allow, to use his words, them to return to their homeland, even though they'd still be subject to his rule. They sort of needed permission to go home. Friends, let's be blunt with each other. Not a single person here would have wanted to have gone through the last 18 months. 18 months which have seen us all enduring lockdown. 18 months of having to be separated from each other. But because of that, what the church, what this church, what you and I need more than ever before, I would suggest, is for the Lord to be in control of his church. For him to lead us, even if he leads us where we don't want to go. We need the Lord to be in control, to lead us even when we don't know where we're going. We need him in control. And we've come to a point in time when we begin together once again to work out together what church might look like. Friends, this is the time to learn Zechariah's lesson, this lesson from this minor prophet. And he would say, don't quit, keep moving forward. And for a reason, did you notice in that kind of passage we read, it's almost as if Zechariah is saying, don't quit, keep going, the king is coming. The church of Jesus Christ, this church, must move forward. And in order to do so, we need to remember Zechariah's words. Verse 3 reminds us, doesn't it? One day, Zechariah writes, Christ will reign in his kingdom on earth. I know he says the Lord, but that's the reality of it. There, all of his people will live with him. That truth alone should encourage us, shouldn't it? To look forward to the Messiah's reign and not quit. Was my amazing privilege yesterday to see Richard on a rugby pitch. And yes, I have a photo to prove it. His first game for Minehead Barbarian Seconds. Congratulations, Richard. Now, I will tell you, I won't give away the game, but I will say, Richard, you weren't on the winning team. Would that be fair? But one thing that team never did was give up or quit. So much so that by the end of the match, I think it was 12 men you were reduced to. But they didn't quit. If Zechariah were here at this time, maybe he would summarise for a bit for us, what he actually writes in his prophecy and speak to us today. Maybe something like this. When we come through what was the unknown and try to look at what tomorrow will bring, what it will look like, or be shaped like, we need to acknowledge individually and collectively that the future is a vast, uncharted sea of the unknown, holding joy or terror, comfort or pain, love or loneliness. At this moment in time, some are happy for life to carry on, a sense of reclaiming normality. Others are fearful of the days to come, wondering what evil lurks in the shadows, desperately trying to work out what's going on, trying to regain control. But Zechariah might say, for you, for me, for us, tomorrow's story is only known to God, and on him we should trust and simply follow him. When I was at college, someone once came and preached a sermon that stuck in my mind. He said, you're all here, you think, to learn. No, you're not. You're all here to get down on your knees and submit and acknowledge there is only one that knows. So we reach the Israelites in this point in time, and the Israelites get back to their homeland and they start building the temple, but they stop. It's just too difficult. They kind of get ahead of themselves. And you can read in Zechariah and Haggai, which is the other prophecy that deals with this, that they need to take care of their own families first, they say. Then we can go back to the temple. If we're not careful, we can fall into that trap as well. Why go back to church to worship? I can watch online, catch up in another way. In fact, I can do what I want when I want. It's such a pain to get up and out on a Sunday morning, or indeed to be at church at 4. I'm out, indeed we're out of the routine. In fact, we have a different routine now. And in any case, other things might need my attention. Family, maybe. And then again, I need rest and relaxation myself. Tell you what, let me sort all of that out, and then I'll think about coming back to church. At this point in the Israelite story, these two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, come into the picture. And the Lord speaks through them and encourages the people to continue on the mission to rebuild the temple. Indeed, in that passage we read in Zechariah 8, he gives them a few promises. And we see Zechariah emphasizing again and again the promises, encouraging them not to quit, to move forward, to remember that the king is coming again and again. We didn't read verse 2, but we could start at verse 2 and we will. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I am very jealous for Zion. I am burning with jealousy for her. I'm burning with jealousy. I'm sure you know it, but just in case you didn't, God cares passionately for us. He cares passionately about you and for you. He gets angry when the enemy tries to hurt you. Now, he cares so much that I'm sure you've heard of it before, that if he had a fridge, there'd be a picture of us on it, indeed a picture of you on it. That's been updated. I don't know. This is really what was in a young people's talk, so I tell you. When God pulls out his Samsung Galaxy phone or his latest iPad or iPhone, other sorts of phone are available, it's full of pictures of us all. And God delights in going around everybody and swiping. Now, I hope that makes some sense to those of you that are technologically advanced. But realistically, what it means is God loves, God cares. In the days of Zechariah, the people are reminded that God loves them. He's going to protect them. He's going to care for them. We're a priority of God. One of my favourite bits from the Psalms comes in Psalm 17, verses 6 to 9. It goes as follows. I call on you, my God, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me and hear my prayer. Show me the wonders of your great love, you who save by your right hand those who take refuge in you from their foes. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who are out to destroy me, from my mortal enemies who surround me. Did you know you are the apple of God's eye? Stunning, isn't it? That's how much God cares. That's how much God loves. That's how much God wants the very best for you. You're the apple of his eye. Kind of made me wonder, though, what is the apple of the eye? Does it mean I have to? Anyway, you get the drift. I'll tell you what it means. Did you know the apple of your eye, or the apple of someone's eye, is this? It's amazing. It's stunning. See if you agree with me. It is the reflection you see of yourself in the eye of the other person. That is the apple of the eye. How about that? God looks in your eyes and he sees the reflection of himself. That's awesome. Because in this psalm, David is literally saying that God sees you like that. What an amazing reality of how God loves you. That much. That's God's zeal. Scripture said God gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will have life eternal with him. God's apple of his eye given for you. That's his zeal. And in moments like this one we face across the world, when the world's still going through a pandemic, when the question individually and collectively is, what next? Then that zeal should change our perspective on how we act. Encourage us not to quit, to keep moving forward. Verse 3 says, this is what the Lord says. Incidentally, we're not going to go through all the verses. Please don't worry. This is what the Lord says. I will return to Zion and dwell in Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the faithful city, and the mountain of the Lord Almighty will be called the holy mountain. An image of the day that once, that day rather, when Jesus will come and reign supreme. See, the truth is, we win. You are unimpressed. I'm mightily grateful. And I'm mightily grateful, because if we were on the losing side, what would be the point? But we're not. We're winners. Every single one of us. And as we ponder that image in verse 3, it reminds us of something. That it's not us that makes things new. It's the Lord that makes it new. It's the Lord that gives the nation a fresh chance and a fresh start. And the Lord would say to us today, I am sure, the past does not determine the present, because I'm the one that will renew. I'm the one that will come to reign. What we do matters, but ultimately it's the Lord that needs to determine what we do and how we move forward. Here's the deal. This may scare you, but it's me. If the Lord does not tell us to spend a pound, it would worry me to death to spend a pound. If the Lord tells us to spend £1 million, spend £1 million, and with a pound in our bank balance, let's go spend the million. Where he leads, we must follow. Doesn't worry me that. What worries me is not following him. It's an amazing image. Let's go where he wants us to go. Amazing. Because it's that following of our amazing Lord, or as Paul puts it, that will give us newness of life. Paul puts it in a slightly different way, doesn't he? In 2 Corinthians 5:17, when he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. I want to be new for my Lord. What about you? I was once privileged to talk to someone who was dying. And I say privileged because on their deathbed they went, I'm a new creation. And I went, why? Why? I asked them that question. And their response stuck with me forevermore. They said, because it's taken me to my deathbed to realize that I can say to the nurse, I'm going to pray for you, sister, and not worry if she says no. But God has created in me a new person. From today forward, I will not be worried. And I thought, hallelujah. Now, it wasn't long after they went to be with their Lord, but hallelujah for that person. Newness of life will change our perspective. And then Zechariah has that amazing image, doesn't he? In verses 4 and 5. Once again, men and women of ripe old age will sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each of them with cane in hand because of their age. The city streets will be filled with boys and girls playing there. What an amazing image of the kingdom of God. Despite all that's happened, all that you've gone through, Zechariah might say to those Israelites, God will rebuild the community. Dear Minehead Baptist Church, despite all we may have gone through, all the church in this country may have gone through, all the church internationally may have gone through, God will rebuild his community. It's the image and the words that scream out at us through things like Open Doors, where they speak of communities that are built around what God is up to. It's powerful because it means stability has come. Old people can only sit around, just to let you know, if the nation's working well. It means they're being cared for properly. Society's prospering. It means that the vulnerable are being shown respect and care. Young people playing and laughing in the streets means there's hope. People not worried about the future of their children, their education, or indeed the expense involved. Families are growing. The nation is growing. God's worshipping community is growing. And the small group which left Babylon has security and hope because God is rebuilding the nation. This church has hope, not because I say it's so, but because God says it's so. Over the church in this country that bears the name of Jesus, over churches in Minehead, over this church, I long to declare this morning that as we stand together and face the future together, that it is God that will rebuild. All you and I have to do is cast ourselves on him. That seems like a fair deal, doesn't it? Because it means you don't have to work hard. You may have gathered I wouldn't be on the bike with Mark. That seemed like too much hard work, didn't it? Incidentally, wherever you are, Steve, thank you for switching the light on and off. The reality is, you now know how it's done, don't you? The reality is that we have a future if we let God do the building. Amazing. And it's a bright one. Zechariah 8:6, this is what the Lord Almighty says. It may seem marvellous to the remnant of the people at this time, but it will seem marvellous to me, declares the Lord Almighty. At times like the one we're in at the moment, when we look forward, do not know what will happen. It can, if we're not careful, seem daunting and worrying. We can become anxious about ourselves and indeed about the church, about what will happen and indeed how this will happen. And we need to have the answers now. Zechariah would say, stop. Rely on the power of God. And sometimes it can be difficult, can it not, to believe that God's power is actually working. To know he's really working, to really know, believe deep down that he has the capacity to change things. But bluntly, I encourage you to open any page in the Bible you wish and read it. Because that's the story of Scripture, isn't it? It's just God at work stuff. I've often wondered if that should be put on the front of our Bibles, incidentally. It should say, Holy Bible, brackets, danger, God at work. But I've never had the capacity or the thought that maybe I could write it on there, because that seems sacrilege. And by the by, you'd have to explain to everyone in the world what you meant if you wrote it. Do you get my drift? This group of Israelites, back from Babylon, temple forming, financial help from the Persian authorities, there is restoration from the rubble. Why? Because God's the one who spoke the universe into place. He holds the seas in the palm of his hands. He's the one that builds nations, that brings Judah home. The temple is being rebuilt, being paid for by Persia. Crudely, the task of rebuilding the church in this moment in time is easy for God. You cannot outpray God. And that changes our perspective on how we act. You know that song has been in my head all week. I know who holds the future. And he holds it in his hand. With God things do not happen. Everything by him is planned. But as I face tomorrow with its problems large and small, I'll trust the God of miracles. Give to him my all. If Zechariah could stand here this morning, he'd say, don't quit. Keep seeking the Lord and keep going his way. The past is gone. A new day, a new era, a new time. The Lord Almighty, I think, would say to us all, listen to him. Because that's all you need. Or to put it another way, Paul writes it much better than me in Ephesians 3 when he says this. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within him, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and forever. I am sure Zechariah would add his amen to that, as I indeed add mine. Amen. Friends, let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you meet us where we are, not where we think we should be, not with everything sorted out, not with our great plans in hand. You meet us in the reality of day-to-day life, in the reality of the moment, in the reality of this moment. So all we can do and all we choose to do, all we're able to do this morning, Lord, is to simply give you the reality of our lives. With the fears and the worries and the doubt and the anxieties and the knowing and the not knowing, and Lord, with everything in between. And say that as we give this to you, may our offering of ourselves in the reality of our lives be an act of amazing worship to you. And in laying before you, Lord, our reality, we invite you into that reality to shape and help and change and mould. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, following on from what Paul has just been saying. I just think this is a word to encourage us, to confirm us, and to sustain us. In one of the translations, Paul talks about being sustained, and I think that's just what we need at the moment, is being sustained in him, in his grace, and everything he provides. And these are the words that Paul says. I always thank you, God. I always thank God for you because of his grace given to you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack in any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. God is faithful for you, for me, for today, and for the coming week, and for the coming year. Praise God.
We're going to, I'll have to sing just that first bit, come set your rule and reign again, in a moment. But I want to remind you with what Martin's just said of those words from Ephesians. And this is my prayer over each and every single one of you. Now to him who is immeasurably more than all we could ask, all you could ask or imagine. According to his power that is at work within you, may you, in all that you do and all that you are, give him the glory. And may his church that bears his name join you in glorifying and worshipping him. And may together we stand and declare to nation and to world, our Lord reigns. To him be the glory, the honour, the power and the authority in his church throughout all generations, forever and forever. Amen. We're going to finish off just by singing that. We're going to end our live broadcast at the end of this whilst we say hallelujah to our Lord. Let's just sing, Come Set Your Rule and Reign, that first verse again.
To leave a comment, please go to moanhead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.